On this week's Money Sense program, two financial superstars will be joining me. The show begins after this break. Welcome to our Money Sense program this week. I'm your host, Brent Laux, and I've got a couple of financial superstars joining me on the program. Kevin Hegedus is here, portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners, and of course, the founder of PWM Private Wealth Council. And our other financial superstar, very special guest, Dave Shilton, former Dragon on CBC's Dragon's Den, but I think probably better known as the best-selling author of The Wealthy Barber, and now The Wealthy Barber Returns. Kevin, good to have you back on the program here.
Hey, it's great to be here. And, you know, I just want to start by saying I'm very pleased to have Dave with us today. You know, I first read his book, The Original Wealthy Barber, early in my career. And honestly, I didn't expect that a barber could shape my entire approach to financial advising. But, you know, here we are today. And somehow David has turned, you know, budgeting and compound interest into something that you'd actually like to stay awake for. And I guess that really stuck with me over the years, you know, and this mix of simple wisdom, the dad jokes that he talks about, great advice. You know, it doesn't need to be a spreadsheet with 200 words or pages in it. And, you know, I still tell clients today, you know, if a barber can master money, we all have hope. And, again, I didn't really understand back in my career how that book would help influence and shape my practice over time. So super happy to have David here today and get a chance to chat with him.
Well, and it's interesting, I was telling David before we got started, I interviewed him, I think, 35 years ago when his first book came out. And how many of us as parents also gave copies of this book to our kids? But it is funny how something that simple can play a large role in your practice, Kevin. And Dave Shilton, welcome again to the program. Tell us a little bit about your background, your experience, Dave, and what brings you here today.
Well, I started out very young in the world of finance, graduated in economics, the Canadian Securities course, et cetera. I used to try to help out clients as a young investment advisor and then as an educator to teachers by giving them personal finance books. Nobody would read them. Too dry, too intimidating, too dull. And I thought, let me try the unusual approach I use, which is more conversational, not charts and graphs, lots of humor, anecdotes, different types of examples. Started working on a book called The Ultimate Guide to Losing Money, humor-based, short chapters. And then one night watching Cheers, I got the idea to shift it over to the bar and called it The Wealthy Bartender initially, and then flipped it over to the barbershop because the alcohol got in the way. You know, I had no idea it was going to go on and become what it did, obviously. I mean, this has been hard to believe all these years later, and I'm so thrilled it's helped so many people.
Oh, that's awesome. What a good story. I like the idea of the wealthy bartender. So your original came out, gee whiz, over 35 years ago, 1989, and it became one of the best-selling books in all of Canadian book history. So why the update? Why rewrite it? Have things changed now 36 years later?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. There's more accounts. You know, you look at things like I just had RRSPs to describe back in 1989. Now, of course, we have the tax-free savings account, the first home savings account. There's new products like ETFs available, exchange-traded funds. Those have to be explained to the reader, and it has to be kept understandable and flowing. But also, there's challenging times out there for a lot of people in the 20s and 30s. That's the target demographic. We've got the high real estate prices throughout most of the country, the high cost of living in general. And then, of course, you've also got the social media world now with the algorithms constantly trying to get at our weaknesses and get us to spend money. It's more difficult than ever to fight off those impulse purchases. You add it all together, and I thought it was a perfect time to come out with the new book. Not gloss over the challenges at all, by the way. Recognize they're very real, but say to people, look, it is indeed tough, and that means it's more important than ever to do what you do in the best possible way.
You know, Dave, and I'm glad you brought up like the first home savings accounts, and obviously the TFSA has been around since 2009, but for a lot of the younger people out there, people in their 20s, I got a 19-year-old daughter, she's second year university. For some of those young people, and they're in their early 20s and mid-20s, what kind of advice would you give to them? What should they be trying to navigate when you're looking at some of those different choices that they have today?
Well, first off, the FHSA is as good as it gets. I mean, mm-hmm. You get tax deduction up front. You get to put in up to $8,000 a year, up to $40,000 total. But not only do you get the tax deduction up front and the tax-free growth, it comes out tax-free like a TFSA when you use it to buy your first home. I mean, it's the best of all worlds. So that is a phenomenal product. one of the first things young people should be doing once they get out of their post-secondary education, if they work for a company that has employer matching on their RRSP contributions, you've got to take advantage of that. Remarkable to me how many young Canadians don't do that. And often walking away from a dollar-for-dollar match on the first 3%, 4%, 6% of their income, that's 100% immediate return. So those are two great starting spots. And then, of course, getting rid of any credit card debt is another no-brainer. You know, you're looking at 20, 21, 22% interest rates. You're not going to achieve that in the investment world over the long term. So you try to pay those off. It's a guaranteed rate of return. Focusing on those three things when you first get out into the workforce, you first get out of school, is a good move. But again, as I said earlier, with this high cost of living, doing all of these things simultaneously and also trying to live, pay your rent, build a down payment, et cetera, it's tricky.
Our guest this weekend on Money Sense is Canadian author, former Dragon's Den guy, David Shilton, on the publishing of his follow-up book to The Wealthy Barber, The Wealthy Barber Returns. And Dave, you said that despite all the changes that we've seen in the financial world over the past 35 years, the core principles still apply. Can you tell our listeners exactly what those are and why they're so important still today?
Well, I mean, I'm a bigger advocate today than even I was 36 years ago for pay yourself first. Why? Because I have seen so many people use it successfully. You know, rather than relying on budgeting and strict discipline, you take the money off the top of the paycheck directly out of the bank account before human nature has a chance to get involved. And with all the temptation out there now, I mentioned the algorithms and the constant attack of marketers, that's more important than ever. That core principle, I think, will always survive. And then still figuring out a way to set aside some percentage of your income and invest for long-term growth. Take advantage of what the markets have to offer over the long term, and of course, the power of compounding. Those two principles working together are still a key part of a successful financial plan for young people.
Dave, you know, I think when I look at some of the older folks out there, people that are entering retirement or in the retirement years, one of the things that I, you know, try and advocate is estate planning and then looking at the different accounts and making sure that they know where to draw from at the right time. You know, how do you do a meltdown on the RRSP, those type of things. Can you speak a little bit to that as well?
Well, I mean, a lot of firms out there are doing a really good job in that. Let's be honest, 5 and 10 and 15 years ago, that was a huge weak spot in the industry. Mm-hmm. That a lot of advisors out there were quite strong at helping people to accumulate the wealth, but we hadn't thrown the same effort and the same scientific kind of approach into how to decumulate. And it makes a big difference what accounts you draw from early, whether or not you delay taking CPP, and everybody's situation is different enough. You have to get professional guidance here. They've got the proper software to take into account. Their experience really helps. But the difference it can make without altering your risk profile at all, just in the tax savings by doing all this right, can be absolutely amazing. So that is something that people have got to do a very good job of getting on top of. The good news is the industry is improving, although frankly, not to where I'd like it to be. But a lot of advisors have really started focusing on that, realizing that's a place where they can add tremendous value. Going past just the tax consequences of when you take money and where you take it from, estate planning in general, I think because of demographics and the baby boomers getting older, is now getting more and more attention. That's a good thing. You know, whom do you name as the beneficiary of the various accounts? Are you making sure your will is up to date? Your powers of attorney, of course, just as important as the will. We're finally, again, seeing more focus on a lot of those things. Those are a key part of overall financial planning.
Wealthy barber author David Shilton, our guest on Money Sense this week. We're back after this break. Welcome back. David Chilton's our guest on Money Sense this week, author of The Wealthy Barber and the newly released Wealthy Barber Returns. And Dave, you chose to keep the storytelling format in this updated version of your book with characters and dialogue rather than charts and graphs. And I got to say, I think that was a big part of the appeal when your first book came out. It was just so easy to understand and digest. Why do you think that still works so well today?
You know, initially I thought it was just because it added more entertainment value and took the intimidation out. But over time, talking to so many readers, I recognize I lucked into another benefit, and that is that the characters were people that the average reader could relate to. It opened their minds to learning. It made them more confident. For heaven's sakes, the narrator says right out of the gate, I hate math. I hate personal finance. And a lot of readers go, that's me. And if I can learn along with him, learn along with his sister, pardon me, learn along with his wife, I'm going to be in a good position. And it also allowed me to cover off a lot of scenarios by having a wide variety of characters. You can inject some humor in it. And again, the casual approach, the conversational approach, takes out a lot of the dryness that's associated with learning this in general. All of that being said, again, I want to repeat, I did not know the formula was going to be this successful. I mean, the new book came out a month ago, and I think the reviews for the new update are even stronger than the original. So it's a little hard to believe. I just think for some reason, using the novel format is the right one in teaching finance. And then the other thing is I have a very unusual writing approach where I test everything with the target demographic. Literally every paragraph, every page is run by a number of people in the target demographic. Did you understand it? What examples did you like? What didn't you like? What questions do you still need answered? You're incorporating that back into the manuscript. So by the time the book gets on the shelves, it's been very carefully vetted, and you know it's going to flow and be well received by the target audience.
I think back 35 years ago, 36 years ago, when your first book came out and how well it did it continue to sell well in all that time, or did it taper off like most books do? And is that part of the reason why you've come up with the new version of The Wealthy Barber?
No, it kept going amazingly for 15, 18 years, whatever it was, until I took it off the shelf. But I took it off the shelf despite very strong sales because it wasn't updated.
Mm.
And I felt that you had to put the updates, the TFSAs, all of those types of things in there to be fair to the readers. So I pulled it off the shelf a long, long time ago. Then I wrote a second book, The Wealthy Barber Returns, which was not a novel format, short chapters, humor. That did well. And this is the original Wealthy Barber now, but fully updated for the times. And again, it's doing even better right now than we ever anticipated. A lot of adults, in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are buying it for their adult age kids, saying, hey, get off of all of these social media contacts where you don't know if the people have the solid background, they may be trying to sell you product, et cetera. Learn the basics through this book and then go from there with your financial advisor or whomever you're turning to.
Of course, a lot of people recall your being on Dragon's Den on CBC, helping entrepreneurs. Any lessons from that experience that made their way into this book or changed the way that you think about money and investments?
Well, you know, it's interesting in that the one thing in my life that I could definitely be accused of being hypocritical on is the way I've invested my money relative to what I teach in the book, because I've always invested a lot in private companies, and 99.5% of Canadians should not be doing that. There's liquidity challenges, and you have to have an expert background in doing the due diligence. And so I tend to do a lot of that. On that front, I learned a lot on Dragon's Den. I mean, you're seeing so many pitches. I think I thought 600 or 700 in 3 years. You're watching how the other dragons think and what kind of due diligence they do. You recognize the importance of attention to detail. So many people came on pitching thinking that us getting them on shelf was the key. But of course, the real art of all of this is getting the product off the shelf. How do you create attention? How do you create demand? Marketing is such a big part of success with all of these things. So lots of lessons learned there, but not the type that I would necessarily apply in the updated version of The Wealthy Barber, because again, most people probably shouldn't do private company investing.
Did any of them work well for you? Did you team up with any of those people that were pitching?
I did 24 deals in 3 years and
wow.
Closed deals, and the majority worked out quite well, and a couple I would say spectacularly well. And you know, it's one of the only things you can invest in where you can have a direct impact on the return. So you get involved with some of the companies and you're able to expand their distribution because of your contacts. So for example, the heft, the attachment to the shovel that took off in Canada, I was able to get them into Home Hardware because I knew the people there well. So that part of it gives you a big head start. And then, of course, the show itself gives you a head start because of all the exposure. Back when I was on it, it had, you know, 1.5 million, 2 million viewers most weeks, including reruns. So that was a big break, too. So, yeah, they did very, very well. I met nothing but great people, by the way. I've stayed in touch with most of the dragons. Kevin and I have drifted apart, but the other ones and I have stayed very good friends.
You mean you don't wear your pajamas every day in public like Kevin O'Leary does?
Oh, my God. Is there a bigger character going? I laughed when he went in that movie recently, and I haven't seen it, but I heard he's quite good. And people said, wow, he's a good actor. And I said, the guy's been an actor his whole life. Of course he's a good actor.
Listen, we still got 2 or 3 minutes left to go in our program here. Kevin Hegedus, we touched on it briefly at the beginning of the program, but all the messaging that comes out of The Wealthy Barber from 36 years ago and The Wealthy Barber Returns, talk about how that's exactly the kind of message that you share with your clients at PWM.
Yeah, you know, I've been preaching from the same choir book for a long time, and I'm a big advocate, obviously, of planning. I've been a certified financial planner for 33 years in this business, and I can't say that strongly enough. I think everyone out there needs a financial plan. We all want to try and, you know, invest in the next NVIDIA, but the reality is, if you have a proper plan in place, it's structured properly, you follow that plan, you learn how to deaccumulate at the right time, use the right accounts properly, use the TFSA, use those type of tools that are available to every Canadian, that's how you become successful.
You know, it's interesting you touched on NVIDIA there, and I could ask David Shilton that. And David, I know you talked about on the Dragon's Den how the majority of Canadians wouldn't get involved in something like that as far as investing in a private enterprise. Is there too many people these days as well because of social media and the immediacy of financial news kind of chasing the next big hit and not looking at the long-term package?
Well, and interestingly, the data says it's younger men. And so I hate to be sexist against men, but the data really supports that. It's when you look at the people trying to chase the quick buck, whether it's in crypto or speculative securities or meme stocks, it's 95%-ish, according to the data, male. And most of them end up blowing up. Obviously, you're going to hear the odd success story when you have hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, trying it. But for the most part, it leads to very poor returns. And again, you just have to face the patient, long-term approach. It's not exciting, and that's probably a good thing.
Good information. I'm wondering now, 35 years, 36 years after the Wealthy Barber, you now have the Wealthy Barber Returns. Will there be a sequel ahead?
I can tell you, if I write another book in 36 years, don't read it. It'll be babble for sure. I'm old. And no, definitely not another one coming. I thought for many years of writing The Retiring Barber and talking about the kinds of things we spoke of here, deaccumulation, the best way to do it, et cetera. But it's very tough to do that in a general way. Every situation is just different enough. Again, you really need the plan or the software, et cetera. I can maybe draw some attention to some of the thinking you need to do. But, you know, at my age, I'm not sure I want to take another year and a half to sit down, write the book, test it, rewrite, et cetera. I think I may be done with all that.
No doubt. It's been a real pleasure having you on the program, David Shilton. Some final thoughts, Kevin. People listening in and say they'd like to find out more about the services you offer at PWM. How do we do that?
Yeah, you know, just give us a call. You can reach us at 306-975-9500. Visit our website at pwmprivatewealth.com. And you can also text that number as well. And I want to also wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas. David, thank you very much for being on the show. Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to you as well, Brent.
Yeah, thank you very much. Dave, it might be a good idea for a Christmas present for somebody looking to get a book for their younger family member. How's the easiest way to get a copy of The Wealthy Barber Returns?
Well, we did something very unusual. We put The Wealthy Barber, this one, out with only independent bookstores in Indigo. I didn't put it in Costco or Walmart because I decided to do all Canadian distribution. So you can pick it up there, and I think people really enjoy it. It says right on it, the fully updated version.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time, David Shilton, and all the best over the holiday season.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Kevin Hagedis.
My pleasure.
This is Money Sense. Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.